There are certain outstanding features that allow ourselves to call ourselves Am Yisrael. These features distinguish what it means to be the Jewish people. The Gemara says, Simana Yisrael Uma Kedosha. The Siman, if you want a true sign and indication of what it means to be part of the holy nation, Baishanim Rachmanim Gomlei Chasadim. Am Yisrael can be distinguished by the fact that they are modest, that they are compassionate, and that they are giving. They are philanthropical by nature. The key to our survival is ensuring that these features remain constant and are always prevalent amongst the Jewish nation. And interestingly enough, as we approach the month of Adar Bet at least, and we get into the spirit of Purim, Shabbat Zachor, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says, Be'echad be'adar mashmin al ashkolim ve'al akilayim. On the first of Adar, Beit Din, the great court of law, would dispense many messengers to deliver the message, remind people about two mitzvot. One, the mitzvah of shkalim, that one has to give the machatzit shekel, which was originally given for the sake of upkeep of the Mishkan and the temple. And two, of the prohibition, the isur deoraita, transgression of kilayim, which loosely defined is mixed breeding. And the question is rather obvious. What is the connection between the mitzvah of machatzit shekel and the prohibition of kilayim, of grafting? Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz explains that the machatzit shekel is universal. Everyone has to give the exact same amount, a half a shekel piece. In fact, the Torah says, "He'ashir lo yarbeh ve'hadar lo yim'at." A rich and wealthy person cannot choose to give more than the half shekel. And the poor person who is destitute cannot give less than the half shekel. The question is, why not? We're always encouraging philanthropy. We encourage giving. Why in this particular positive mitzvah of the upkeep and the foundation of the Mikdash do we say that everyone has to give the exact amount of the half shekel? Rabbi Yonason explains that the half shekel really demonstrates and represents the concept of achdut, of unity. Everyone, when it comes to a share in the Mikdash, when it comes to a piece, if you may, of spirituality, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, everyone's equal. Everyone has equal opportunity. And therefore, everyone has to give the same amount, the half shekel. Why? You take a half a shekel and another half a shekel and you bring them together. Only at that point does it form a full shekel, a wholesome unit. And therefore the concept of the mitzvah of machatzit shekel emphasizes not only that all of us have a share, but that the greatest way for us to ensure that that share means something is when we are together, is when we experience the achdut, the unity, the oneness, which is the sign and the mark of the whole shekel, of Klal Yisrael bringing them together. Says Rabbi Yonason, similarly speaking, the kilayim is mixed breeding. Mixed breeding represents a destructive union. The machatzit shekel represents a constructive union. And therefore, the Torah wants us to remember that when we unite as one, it should not be for the sake of destroying a species. It should not be for the sake of kilayim, mixed breeding, but rather it should be for the sake or the reasons of proposing and promoting purpose, our mores, our morals and values in Judaism in the world. We have to be wary. There are disruptive bonds that could exist, but we have to be certain that when we are unified, we do so for the correct reason. Unfortunately, we see that our Muslim brethren or cousins, when they unite as one, not only are they extremely dangerous, but it's rather obvious that they do so exclusively for destructive reason. In an article that appeared months ago called "I Have Set Before You Life and Death," the author of the article discusses why Am Yisrael continue to celebrate in the streets of Jerusalem their independence. And she explains that the answer, I think, lies in one of the most awe-inspiring developments of the past 6 years of fighting. The surprising number of Israelis who have responded to one of life's worst tragedies, the death of a child in a terror attack or military action, with an impulse to make the world a better place. And she gives a number of examples. To cite a few, after 13-year-old Kobe Mandel was bludgeoned to death by terrorists in 2001, for instance, his parents decided to set up a foundation to help other victims of terror. After 15-year-old Malki Roth was murdered in suicide bombing in Jerusalem that same year, her parents established a foundation to help families care for special needs children at home. And the list goes on and on. And she explains that this response to grief is particularly noteworthy when contrasted with a phenomenon unknown amongst Israelis, but not uncommon on the Palestinian side. Parents who respond to a child's death by publicly urging their other children to court similar deaths. And she also quotes a few examples. After a 17-year-old Mohammed was killed in the process of murdering five Israeli teens in 2002, for instance, Nido Farahat of Gaza proudly told a Saudi newspaper that she had discussed the attack with him in advance and even posed for keepsake photos. Similarly, after suicide bomber Saeed Kutari murdered 21 Israelis at a Tel Aviv discotheque in 2001, his father, Hassan, declared, "I am proud and happy with what my son had done in this attack." And he added that he would be proud to have all of his sons be suicide bombers as well. Says the author of the article that in the book of Deuteronomy of Devarim, Moses lays down a challenge from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people. "I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life." Ubacharta b'chayim. My dear friends, ubacharta b'chayim, choosing life, is what makes us different. It's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. The Muslim world unites for the sake of death. The Jewish world unites for the sake of life. Ki hem chayenu v'orech yameinu v'chayei olam nata b'tochenu. Is implanted inside of us to promote, to enjoy, and to further concept of marking a life in a positive way. It's most disturbing to see a world that succumbs to this far-reaching and infectious influence. This past week, there was an article that discussed a number of proposals called Britain's Encounter with Islamic Law. Beneath the deceptively placid surface of everyday life, the British population is engaged in a momentous encounter with Islam. As we clearly know that almost all of the European Union is slowly being taken over by the Muslim population. First, the UK government decided that terrorism by Muslims in the name of Islam is actually unrelated to Islam, or even anti-Islamic. This notion took root in 2006, when the Foreign Office, afraid that the term "war on terror" would inflame British Muslims, sought language that upholds shared values as a means to counter terrorists. By early 2007, the European Union issued a classified handbook that banned jihad, Islamic, and fundamentalist in reference to terrorism, offering instead some non-offensive phrases. Last summer, Prime Minister Gordon Brown prohibited his ministers from using the word Muslim in connection with terrorism. In January, Home Secretary Jackie Smith went further, actually describing terrorism as anti-Islamic. It's an unbelievable thing. It's an unbelievable lack of regard, the fear of death, and the lengths that a government and that what's called a civilized country will go to because of that fear. A lack of principle, a lack of recognition and understanding. The Torah demands from us something different. It demands for us to understand and appreciate that there are certain changes that are unacceptable. There are certain principles that are not to be compromised. And this is precisely the message of the parshiot that we have read. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Make sure that the palace that with which I dwell, the castle that you build for yourselves, namely the Beit Knesset, the Beit Midrash, that it preserves and demonstrates sanctity. The Bigdei Kohanim, the cloth of the Kohen, which is meant to represent the same. And ultimately we reach the crescendo, the end of all of these parshiot, where the Torah suddenly reminds us that there is a reason. Beginning of Parshat Vayakel, in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Bet. Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael, Pasuk Aleph. Moshe Kahel, Vayakel. He congregates Am Yisrael. He brings them together. The Achdut, the unity, which we described moments ago. Et kol adat b'nei Yisrael vayomer aleihem eile hadvarim asher tziva Hashem la'asot otam. These are the commandments of Hashem. Sheshet yomim te'aseh melacha u'bayom ha'shvi yeh lachem kodesh shabbat shabbaton la'Hashem. First introduction is that mitzvah of Shabbat, says Moshe. And immediately afterwards in Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Moshe el kol adat b'nei Yisrael, once again emphasizing the concept of kehilah, of congregation. Kechu mi'itchem truma la'Hashem kol nediv libo yevi'ah et trumat Hashem. To bring the nedava, to offer trumot, presents, in order to ensure the sanctity of the temple. And the question is rather obvious. What is the connection between the mitzvah of Shabbat and the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, of keeping our foundations, shuls, Beit HaMikdash? What is the connection between the two? And I think the answer is quite clear based on what we said. These two attributes, these two mitzvot, represent precisely the outstanding characteristics of what allows Am Yisrael to call themselves a kehilah. Vayakhel Moshe. The way we are distinguishable and the way that we may remain distinguished is firstly the Shabbat. Shabbat which represents creating rapport with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbat which represents the mitzvot bein Adam lamakom. There's a mitzvah, a commandment, for the sake of life, for the sake of invigorating spiritual reference, for the sake of creating that special relationship with the Borei Olam. And immediately following the mitzvah of Teruma, kol nediv libo, a nediv lev, is precisely who Am Yisrael are. Philanthropists, compassionate people, a modest people who empathize with the people around them. It is the same outstretched hand that gives money, that represents Bein Adam Lechavero. That same hand is the same army that won't napalm a complete area that threatens Jewish existence on a daily basis. It's the same army that drops flyers in a city before it comes to bomb that area of terrorists, warning the civilians to save themselves, because that's precisely who we are. Only in maintaining and nurturing those characteristics do we allow ourselves to call ourselves Kehal Adat Yisrael. And it is through the merit of Le'enei Kol Beit Yisrael Bechol Masehem, when we refer to the final pasuk in the Sefer of Shemot, Ki Anan Hashem Al HaMishkan Yomam Ve'esh Tiyeh Laila Bo. The Shechina, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyochol, rests and dwells upon the Mishkan, Le'enei Kol Beit Yisrael Bechol Masehem, in the front, to the eye, and demonstrative to all of Am Yisrael, Bechol Masehem. Doesn't mean only literally in all of our travels, but it represents in all of the predicaments that we find ourselves, in all of our challenges, regardless of where we are, when we preserve the attributes of Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lechavero, only then can we proclaim properly, with pride, and indeed collectively as one, Chazak Chazak V'nit Chazek. Shabbat Shalom.